Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, October 13th. Hey, man, I'm in for it. I like a Friday the 13th, especially in October, and I like week six. We're going to break it down for you on the podcast. By we, there's only one of me here. I'm going to break it down for you on the podcast today. Not going to beat around the bush. Let's dive right in. We'll start with another London game. This is the final London game, though we do still have two more international contest with that 9:30 a.m. Eastern start time in Germany, but that's a couple weeks from now. Just set a reminder, just in case, because you never know if you get a surprise inactive. Always a wise thing. Somebody actually asked me, why do they do that? Why does the NFL have that game at that time? It's because it's an island game. I mean, straightforward. I don't know for a fact, but they want to showcase this. They want to grow the sport. Makes a lot of sense. Anyway, Baltimore, Tennessee, at Baltimore 23.4. To 19.4. On the Baltimore side, well, Lamar is coming off of a down week, but I'm not overly concerned here. And really, a big part of that is the fact that Zay Flowers is balling out, has the most receptions through five career games in Ravens history. Gets a nice matchup here. The secondary for the Tennessee Titans, pretty favorable. Seventh most fantasy points per game to opposing wideouts. Also, we'll keep an eye on Keaton Mitchell. Looks like he will be in play this week, at least activated off of injured reserve. But I have no idea what his usage is going to be. He went full in practice, though, on Wednesday and Thursday. I'm recording this early on Friday morning. So we'll keep an eye there. But I'm generally trying to avoid this backfield. It is not a good matchup. On the other side, Derrick Henry outside of RB1 territory this week at RB15 for me. It's a committee situation with him and Tajay Spears. It's also a really tough matchup. You may see Baltimore as sort of a mid-pack, but that's because for some reason they've allowed passing yards to running backs, but it's not a good matchup on the ground. 3.8 yards per carry, zero rushing touchdowns to running backs this season. Otherwise, it's just really DeAndre Hopkins. We're not streaming Chigakonkwo this week. Moving on to Washington and Atlanta. I have Atlanta 22.5 to 20.1. On the Washington side, Sam Howell, man, he showed us straight up last week, and this is really important. This is why we don't freak out over one quarter of play. It was bad. Just like Jordan Love the previous Thursday. It was bad after the first half, but we play the whole game. And I think that's just a good lesson in general. Wait until the game is done. If you want to complain, wait until the game's done, right? I know the fan mindset is let's complain over everything at any point, all the time, always let's complain, but wait until the game's done. And likewise, let's wait until the season's done to really figure out who these guys are. You know, and Sam Howell, I think we're going to have up and down. This is not a particularly good matchup. Atlanta's defense is surprisingly good, but Sam Howell, it's going to be a roller coaster. Let's just put it that way. The only player with a somewhat favorable matchup here is Logan Thomas. He is a top 12 option for me. Not the best matchup for Brian Robinson, though I think you could still use him as a back-end RB2. Terry McLaurin should see, as I mentioned yesterday, A.J. Terrell. On the other side, we're seeing signs of life out of the passing game. That was the best passing performance of Desmond Ridder's short career, first 300-yard game. And honestly, it's helpful if he is trending up. You know, that play is going to help Drake London. It's going to help Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts still on the outside looking in at tight end one territory at tight end 13 for me this week. Drake London more of a flex option. The only really strong play here on that side is Bijan Robinson, and he's going to continue to be a top 10 regardless of matchup. But, you know, we'll see. Can Ridder continue to trend in the right direction? Minnesota-Chicago. I have Minnesota 23.4 to 21.0. No Justin Jefferson, but a great spot in general here for the Minnesota offense. TJ Hockenson remains an elite fantasy option. I think we can get away with both Jordan Addison and KJ Osborne. Addison is a back-end wide receiver 2. Osborne is a fringe wide receiver 3. If you happen to pick up Osborne, I would temper expectations at least initially, but we'll see how heavily he's used. If they use him Like essentially, if his targets like last week are equal to Jordan Addison, that'll really boost my confidence going forward. I'm not overly concerned about Kirk Cousins too, by the way. A lot of people have asked me about that. I mean, he's coming into the league, 13 passing touchdowns, second in passing yards with almost 1,500. He's 2 yards short of 1,500. I think he's fine. And the fact that they have so much depth is really helpful. Alexander Mattison in a great spot. This is going to be a key game for him here. If Cam Akers really eats into his workload, then my confidence level will go down for Mattison, but I'm going to use him as an RB2. I have him at 17 among running backs. Okay, other side. Roschon Johnson, I'll start there. He did not practice yesterday. Two missed practices in concussion protocol is essentially the telltale sign that he will not be ready for this game. So without Roschon out there, we will slide Deontay Foreman into flex territory. Tentatively, he'll be like top 30, but not top 25. That's my tentative. I got to run my projection model to figure that out. Of course, I'll update that over at ftnfantasy.com. But as of now, not looking good for Roschon Johnson. As far as the rest of the team, I mean, Justin Fields is rolling. DJ Moore is rolling. And we're just going to keep riding that wave. This was the ceiling that we were looking for, and we have it now. Also, Cole Kmet rolling over the last 2 weeks as well. He's a top 10 option this week. I actually was able to pick up Deontay Foreman last night, too, by the way, in a league where I do need a little bit of help at running back. He may still be available in your leagues. Just go and check. Seattle and Cincinnati up next. I have Cincinnati winning this one 24.8 to 22.5. Should be a pretty close game. But the key here, obviously, is that we have Joe Burrow trending in the right direction. I mean, it has not been a good start to the season, but last week I said, hey, if he doesn't get it done here, he's not going to get it done. Well, he got it done last week. Gets another decent spot here. The Seattle defense, you know, seemingly in this era, they're not Legion of Boom anymore. They're Legion of Bend but Don't Break a lot of times. But Burrow should be able to have his way in this matchup. He's a top 10 play, loving what he has going with Jamar Chase. Joe Mixon, the volume has been fantastic. The efficiency has not, but I'll take the volume. He's a top 10 play as well for me this week. Otherwise, we don't know if T. Higgins is going to get back out there or not. He seems like he's trending in that direction, but can't guarantee anything. If he does, I think I'd be willing to use him as wide receiver 3+, and that obviously would take Tyler Boyd out of the mix. On the other side, we have Seattle coming off a bye. We're using the usual suspects in this game, so obviously Kenneth Walker, DK Metcalf. Tyler Lockett actually leading the league in end zone targets so far this season with 7 of them. And then Geno Smith is right on the edge of quarterback one territory at 13. Not the easiest matchup here for this team, but you know, those guys are all usable here. Moving on to the next contest, San Francisco and Cleveland. I have San Francisco destroying Cleveland here, 24.5 to 15.6. And, I mean, we're going to roll, obviously, with McCaffrey, Ayuk, Debo, George Kittle, even though it's not the greatest matchup, but the matchup does take Brock Purdy out in the mix for me, except in super flex leagues. On the other side, we don't know if Deshaun Watson is going to play, but it does seem like we're heading towards him sitting out this week. He went DNP on Wednesday and Thursday. He's dealing with a rotator cuff injury. Now, last time we saw them, Dorian Thompson-Robinson got the start, but it would be PJ Walker. I've mentioned that on the podcast this week. That plus the matchup essentially takes Amari Cooper down to flex territory, Jerome Ford down to flex territory. It's really tough to trust Cleveland Browns guys in this matchup with the quarterback situation. Carolina and Miami. Miami 30.1 to 17.0 here. This one is, well, on paper, not particularly close. Let's talk about the Carolina side first and foremost. There's not much to like here. I mean, Adam Thielen, and that may be it. I can't really trust Miles Sanders. He keeps picking up injuries, so he had the groin injury to start the season. Now he is dealing with a shoulder issue. He may not play, and guess what? Even if he doesn't play, I'm not in on Chuba Hubbard as anything more than the flex option. We don't know how much LaVisca Chenault we're going to see. I mean, this is it's a bit of a mess there. On the other side, obviously, no Devon Achane. So this puts Raheem Mostert in a fantastic spot. I think he's a top 5 play. We should see Jeff Wilson activated for this, but it's one of those situations where I don't want to use him until I see how he's used. So he's fine to be on benches, but that's about it. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Tua Tagovailoa. Obviously, we're using all these guys here. Indianapolis and Jacksonville for this contest. Obviously, these games are always fun. This is a nice rivalry here, but I do have Jacksonville winning pretty handily, 23.9 to 20.6. No Anthony Richardson. Gardner Minshew is just a super flex option this week at quarterback 21. But I don't mind his presence for Michael Pittman or even Josh Downs, who slid up into flex territory this week. As for the running backs, we did hear from Shane Steichen that we're going to see more Jonathan Taylor this week. I just don't know how much. So right now I actually have him and Zach Moss ranked back-to-back. Taylor at 24, Moss at 25. So he moved just slightly from Wednesday. I think he can use both. I don't want to have to. I really wish I didn't have to use both in the same lineup, but you may have to if they're the highest ranked guys. But I would temper expectations for both. Jonathan Taylor, I just don't think he's going to see a big enough workload to be anything more than a fringe RB2. And Zach Moss, even though last week was awesome, I think his workload is going to be reduced. So that's where we are there. On the other side, I will say this. Trevor Lawrence, we have this stat, expected fantasy points, out there. We have an expected fantasy points tool over at ftnfantasy.com. And how I use that tool is I will see who is underperforming and use those guys as buy lows. So Lawrence on the season is 15th among quarterbacks in fantasy scoring. He's 10th among quarterbacks in expected fantasy points, so he is a buy low option for me. I'm going to keep ranking him as a top 12 option. Obviously, we're using ETN, but Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, does not look like Zay Jones is going to be in this game. Picked up that or re-aggravated that knee issue, so Ridley, Kirk in a very good spot from a volume standpoint. So is Evan Ingram. And hopefully the Colts are able to keep this close. I think they will in this Minshew revenge game. I think they'll be able to keep it close. New Orleans and Houston, a very close game on paper. I have New Orleans at 21.5 to 21.0. On the New Orleans side, it's pretty straightforward. It's really just Kamara, Olave, and Thomas. I think that's what we're going to be for a little while here. You could use Carr at Superflex. But with Kamara, he has not skipped a beat. 20-plus touches each of the first two games since returning from suspension. He's the number 7 back in fantasy scoring over that span of time. 73rd career touchdown. That's the most of any player in Saints history. 50th rushing touchdown last week. That's two behind Mark Ingram for the franchise record there as well. So he's putting his name in the record books here. And he is a top 12 play in a very good matchup. The matchup is not as good on the other side. I know people love CJ Stroud, but I can't use him as anything more than a streamer this week. Wide receiver 27 for Nico Collins. Could see some Marshawn Lattimore. And that's about all we can use there. We'll see what Tank Dell, by the way. So Tank Dell was in concussion protocol to start the week. He went DNP, so it doesn't look likely that he'll play. Damian Pierce, tough matchup for him. New Orleans is very, very stout against the run. Fifth fewest fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. That puts Pierce at back-end RB2 territory. He just has not been efficient this season. New England and the Raiders. I have the Raiders winning 22.9 to 19.3. Things are not good on the New England side of this contest. Things are unraveling. And it really makes it tough to trust most of these guys. I mean, I'm still using Ramondre Stevenson as a back-end RB2, but we're looking at a full-blown timeshare. And we're looking at Ramondre Stevenson averaging 2.8 yards per carry. This, yeah, again, it's not a good spot. Zeke sliding up into flex territory. You could use him potentially as a flex, although expectations are pretty low, even though this isn't a terrible matchup. Expectations pretty low. On the other side, not much to use there outside of the trio Jacobs, Adams, Myers. It is a Jimmy G revenge game, but he's only in play in Superflex. Jacobs is doing a nice job from a volume standpoint. He has topped 80 scrimmage yards each of his last three games. He's showing some signs of life, rushing touchdown each of the last 2 weeks. New England is good against the run, but game scripts have been terrible for them, so that actually benefits Jacobs this week. So don't mind that one at all. He is, for me, a top five play. Arizona and the Rams. Arizona is not a good team, but they do play up to their divisional opponents, but I still have this one 26.0 to 19.3. Obviously, on the Arizona side, one of the four big injuries this week, James Conner, short-term IR, so he will not be out there. So what do we do here? Well, I don't know how the backfield is going to shake out. I know Amari DiMercato did a nice job filling in for Conner last week, but I also know that Keyonte Ingram has a chance of suiting up. I only had practice reports from Wednesday, Thursday, but he went limited in both of those practices. That type of situation, when I don't know, is a situation that I want to avoid if I can get away with it. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty in fantasy football, but when we're especially uncertain, then the move is don't act like you know more than what you know and avoid it. But I do have DiMercato as a flex option. I have not seen one way or the other any word on how they plan to use their running backs, though. So it's a tricky situation. Marquise Brown was he missed practice on Wednesday with an illness, but he did get to limited yesterday, so he should be good to go in this contest. On the other side, hey, we got our answer with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. There's enough meat on the bone for both of them to produce. They're both top 10 plays for me, bringing Matthew Stafford, by the way, up into the top 10 in a very good matchup. And Kyren Williams remains a top 10 option as well. I'm not panicking over one game. Philadelphia and the Jets, I have Philly 24.5 to 17.8. And yes, the Jets are a very good defense, but I don't think it matters. If you have DeAndre Swift, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, even Devontae Smith, don't freak out over last week. The Eagles' pass catchers are going to be boom or bust. But I don't think, again, I don't think this matchup matters. I'm using Jalen Hurts with confidence. Does not matter for me, and I really like DeAndre Swift's volume this season. He's finally being used the way that we had hoped he was going to be used in Detroit. 91 touches on the season, and most of that has come in four games, not five, because he was barely used in that first game all the way back in week one. On the other side, the only usable option is Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson. It is not a it's not a good matchup for Breece Hall. But it's another one of those where I really don't care because he's so darn good. You know, the Eagles are very tough on opposing running backs, 3.1 yards per carry. But Breece Hall is still a top 20 option this week. Detroit and Tampa Bay, I have Detroit 24.5 to 20.0. Detroit is an exciting team. There's no doubt about it. David Montgomery should get another big workload here because Jahmyr Gibbs has not practiced so far this week. He's in danger of missing this contest. Monty is a top 10 option. Amon-Ra does seem like he's trending towards getting back on the field. He actually, you know what? He was taken off the injury report. So, yeah, he's going to play because he went limited on Wednesday, but he went full yesterday. So he's going to be good to go. Right back into back end tight end one territory with him. Sam Laporta, not the best matchup, but he's rolling. He's a top five option. The other side, Mike Evans is tricky because he went DNP limited. One would think he's going to play, but just keep an eye on his status today if you're listening to this on Friday. If he plays, he's obviously a top 20 option. Rashad White has not been particularly effective as a runner. 3.6 yards per carry since the start of last season. That's 60th out of 61 qualifiers over that span. 27th among running backs in fantasy points per game this season. And the Lions are very good against the run. They're allowing 49.6 rushing yards per game to opposing backfields. That is rough right there. Honestly, this is not a great spot for him. Rashad White, RB19 for me right now. Okay, Sunday Night Football, Giants, Buffalo Bills. Buffalo beating up on the Giants in projections, 29.3 to 15.7. Yikes. Saquon Barkley, we are at the end of that initial timetable. It was supposed to be a three-week absence. Well, he's missed 3 weeks. Yet, he remains a big question mark because he's been limited in practice for each of the last 2 weeks and then limited this week so far, limited on Wednesday and Thursday. I don't know if he's playing. If he does play, obviously we're using him. Hopefully we'll get that news by, you know, this afternoon here on Friday, and we'll be good to go. He's usable, Darren Waller's usable, and that's it in this game from the Giants. Obviously, on the other side, it's just straightforward. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, James Cook. Oh, by the way, Daniel Jones may not go in this one as well. Tyrod Taylor definitely. I mean, even with Tyrod Taylor, Darren Waller's still usable, but Tyrod Taylor would lower the fantasy value of everybody here. Dallas and the Chargers to round it out here. This one's going to be a great one. Very close contest in projections. have Dallas at 25.8 to 24.6. On the Dallas side, I know it's been frustrating, but guess what? This game actually should work for our favor here for fantasy purposes. Tony Pollard rolling. This guy, by the way, Tony Pollard leads the NFL, not David Montgomery, in goal line carries. He has 9. He's only converted 2 for scores, but I love those opportunities. Those are extremely valuable opportunities. We're in a little bit of a buy low window on Tony Pollard and perhaps on CeeDee Lamb. I think you can use Dak Prescott in this one. I'm at quarterback 12. Obviously, we're using Justin Herbert on the other side, and Austin Eckler is practicing in full, so this dude's going to be back on the field. He's back to a top 5 option. Keenan Allen rolling. I don't love the matchup for Joshua Palmer, but I think you use him as a fringe wide receiver 3 option. All right, there we go. Of course, I'll keep updating rankings, and that final update goes in at about 12:30 Eastern, right before the lock at 1 o'clock Eastern on Sundays. So use it over at ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, and I will catch you on the flip side of the weekend to recap the biggest takeaways from this weekend's action. Enjoy the football. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.